Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Beamcast. This is the November 24th special edition Great Shonen Tier List episode. My name is Jean.
My name is Drew.
My name is Clint.
And since we had such a tremendously humongous show earlier this week, we decided we're going to split off the tier list, at least for this week. Probably not going to be a regular feature, but for this week, we're going to split it off into its own little mini-episode. So let's get right down to business. First, we have some house cleaning to do, because it has come to my attention that I had not given full and due credit to Iki, Minami Itsuki, from Air Gear. I somehow managed to neglect the fact that he can kick tornadoes at people, which is... That is rather pertinent information to have at hand. He can also create a dense sphere of air and kick it at the ground, thus obliterating anyone around or in it, to the point where it would create a crater in concrete, is the way it was described to me. Therefore, we've decided to move Iki from where he was, which was directly below Scar of FMA, moving him higher up, still in mid-tier, but higher up. He's now going to land right below Crow of Dead Man Wonderland, but above Sango and Kirara of Inuyasha. So that takes care of re-tiering. Let us now introduce some new characters, beginning with Mr. Tube on Clay from One Piece. Everyone's favorite Okama from One Piece. Not terribly strong. I mean, Clint, what is your basic understanding of his ability set?
I mean, he basically has the Okama Kenpo and the weighted steel boots. But besides that...
Not too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of just got like the little like swan attachments on his legs, but that's about it. So I kind of get the feeling right away that he's already below pretty much everyone else from One Piece. It would seem to me, at least all of the crew, and in that little span, that also encapsulates characters like Foxy, Perona, and Buggy. Drew, do you have any objection to at least just immediately putting him below all of those characters?
Yeah, I don't think it's that much of a stretch, given that he doesn't really have any projectiles, and he is just a physical fighter character, and not one of the strongest ones.
Okay. So then, the lowest placed One Piece character to this point is Nami. So looking below that, we have Kuragane Gama from Gamron and Jonathan Joestar of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Clint, you're at least decently familiar with both of those. Your thoughts on Mr. Tube on Clay versus either of those characters?
Based on the Okama Kenpo, basically just that with a little bit of augmented from the slippers, he's not going to go above those two. They've both kind of got a leg up on him.
Okay, so probably going to drop him down into weak tier, it sounds like. We have characters like Bulma, who has a wide variety of offense. She has the capsules, so she could bring anything, we'll say up to a car, but any manner of weird devices and machinery below that, certainly. Shiho from ZKC and Yukitera Amano are characters that we've established would bring guns to the battlefield. I mean, Mr. Two, decently accomplished martial artist in the world of One Piece, but still, they're up against a gun. I don't think he's going to have anything to bring against that. Would you agree with that sentiment, Drew?
Yeah, I really don't think that, like, just a physical martial artist isn't going to have much to stand against a gun, especially if he's going to need to cross a short distance.
Right. So directly below Yukitero, then, is Takamura Mamoru. And starting with him, and then for a few other characters, that's getting more into the realm of direct physical combat. How would you feel, and Drew, I'll ask you again, specifically regarding Takamura, counting the fact that Mr. Tube on Clay is not, in fact, a bear, how do you think that fight would play out?
Well, unless he's copying a bear, he does have kicks that are as powerful as rifle shots. And, like, as strong as Takamura is for just a regular human, Von Clay is a little bit above regular human.
Right. Directly below that is Kagome of Inuyasha. Then we have Onizuka Eikichi, Ippo, Shinpachi. I mean, decidedly more realistic characters than a Mr. Tube on Clay. Clint, your thoughts on whether he should just remain above Takamura?
Yeah, he should probably just go above Takamura. I mean, between the gun users and a straight-out just boxer, he would probably fit in right there.
Okay, then that is where he will land. Mr. Tube on Clay of One Piece, debuting fairly low. He's our lowest One Piece character. All right, next up is Kankuro of Naruto, because he's made a reappearance in recent chapters. Not that he's really exhibited too much, but he's at least somewhat relevant, so let's tier him now. at his peak, we can still only really consider his trio of puppets, because he hasn't really shown too much since he's adopted the Sasori puppet. The only real time that I've seen him use it, and again, fans, correct me if I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, please email in shonenbeam@gmail.com, but correct me if I'm wrong, the only time we've really seen him use the Sasori puppet is when he and the rest of the Sand Trio got stomped by Sasuke's unveiling of Susanoo. So not willing to consider that, if that is the sole basis of proof of Sasori's power used by Konkoro. So then just judging Konkoro on his original three puppets that he has, it seems to me that his entire arsenal and his means of attack would be to kind of lay poison down and start firing off needles and then start using the puppets to try to perhaps capture the opponent and dismantle them from within the puppet. So looking at, once again, mid-tier, because we have a lot of these same-level Naruto characters in mid-tier, we have Rock Lee, Neji, Choji, Kimimaro. Drew, just kind of take a stab in the dark here. Where do you think we're going to end up putting Konkoro? Where are you looking initially?
I'm kind of looking at around, like, the Neji, Choji area, the physical characters. I think he'd go a little bit above that, but that is kind of where his level is.
Okay. Would we then rule out that he has the ability to compete with a Rock Lee? Is Rock Lee just way too fast?
Yeah, I'd say Rock Lee is just fast enough to one-shot him before he even starts laying down poison.
Okay. So in that case, then, Clint, I'll ask that to you. Since we are looking at Neji, Choji, and then obviously non-Naruto characters as well, such as Kukabara, your opinion on how those fights might play out, or just your general idea of where the placement should be?
I think looking at Neji and Choji are two characters that would have trouble closing the distance without being poisoned, getting hit by poison needles or the poison gas. I just don't think they have the speed to get in there. But when you go up to like a Rock Lee or even a Killua, they have the speed to just one-shot Konkoro at the beginning of the battle.
Okay, and also I'm asking this to you as well, Clint. Not again, taking out of universe, you know, because it could easily be said that Konkoro within universe could defeat Neji or Choji or what have you. That could be argued for quite a long time. But again, Clint, do you feel also that characters like Kukabara, Apachai, Tokine, Toriko, do you still feel that Konkoro has the upper hand in those fights as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's a ranged fighter, and Kukabara and Apachai especially are very, like, close-range characters, so I feel like that gives him an edge over them. They're not going to be able to close in. He has too many techniques to keep away.
Okay.
And then a character like a Tokine, poison needles right off the bat from one of the puppets.
Okay. So then looking at what would be his upper limit, we have Rock Lee, obviously, from Naruto, but then we also have Killua and Shishigen from Hunter x Hunter and then Kakashi, respectively. Drew, your thoughts? I mean, Rock Lee is obviously too fast, but are those other two too fast as well?
Yeah, I think we're looking at a very similar speed tier as far as Rock Lee, Killua, and Shishigen go. I think, like, really, he loses to all three of them because he just gets one-shotted.
Okay, then I am perfectly in agreement with that as well, so I'm just going to place Konkoro right below Shishigen and above Hyūgen-eji. That brings us to our next item of business, which is Kurapika from Hunter x Hunter, and this bears a little bit of explaining right off the bat, because some of his abilities are so specific to the series. For the purposes of this, we will not be using, first of all, Chain Jail, which even if it was in series, he would not be able to use against anyone except for the Genin Ryodan, the spiders. So certainly that is out of the question. But also the Judgment Chain, that is entirely too bizarre and esoteric. The concept behind the Judgment Chain is that he would pierce one of his chain projectile weapons into an opponent's chest, and then the tip of that chain, which has a sharp edge to it, would kind of encircle itself around the opponent's heart. And then Kurapika sets a couple of statements. He creates a couple of statements that if the opponent violates any of those conditions, then the opponent is instantly pierced through the heart. That is getting into some seriously bizarre and situational issues. So for the purposes of this, we are removing that from the discussion. If you disagree with our stance on that, please do feel free to write in shonenbeam@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your rationale as to why we should include that. It is a difficult decision, but at least for now, we are going to take it out of the equation. So then, having done so, having taken that out of the equation, we are left with the dousing chain, which he has been shown to use to block bullets, and presumably he can also bludgeon opponents with this, choke opponents with this. He himself would be considered at peak condition to have activated his eyes, you know, his scarlet eyes from the Kudata tribe. And beyond that, he wouldn't really have too much. He has his little healing chain, but that probably isn't going to play too much into a battle unless it's a really protracted stall war, which I seriously doubt. And besides that, you know, somewhat augmented physical strength thanks to his control over Nen, but really not too much else. So, Drew, your initial thoughts on where are we kind of generally looking? Is this still a mid-tier character?
Yeah, I think this is still a mid-tier character. I think because he's lacking his full abilities, you can't really compare him to the other characters from Hunter x Hunter in the tier. I think, though, he would definitely at least beat, like, Chad and Moroku in terms of, like, speed and enhancer strength.
Okay, but we're not looking at even the middle level of mid-tier, let alone the upper, you don't think?
No, I think at the very minimum, like, Apachai, Tokune, Toriko, that whole tier would beat him.
Okay. So looking then near the bottom, we have, as you mentioned, Chad, Moroku, unidirectional types of attacks. I completely agree that he, Kurapika, is at least agile and mobile enough to be able to move out of the way of those unidirectional attacks. He may not be blindingly quick, but he is fast enough for that. Immediately up the list from that is Kiba from Naruto. Clint, I know you're not terribly familiar with Kurapika's full extent of his powers, but you know, what are your thoughts on this type of a matchup?
Just basically knowing that he's a very tough character with a ranged weapon and the chain, he should be more than enough for Kiba. I feel like the chain is almost a natural counter to Kiba, who's going to charge in and kind of just take hits from it, free hits from Kurapika.
Okay. Also perhaps captured by it, even, you know, strangled.
Yeah.
He does seem the very straightforward character. Directly above that is Edward Elric. And right above that, we have Haruno Sakura of Naruto. So what are your thoughts, Drew, on how those types of matchups are played? They're very different kinds of matchups, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's tricky. Like, the Sakura one is more tricky than the Edward one. Ed, I just feel he kind of claps his hands and spears up Kurapika. Kurapika wouldn't know how to dodge that, and, like, getting speared by Earth would be too massive of an injury to heal. Sakura, I'm a little less sure about, because she is just, like, mainly physical strength with, like, minimal ninja techniques, and Kurapika's shown himself to at least be able to take that in his fight with Ibogaine. So that one, it's more difficult to say. At the same time, like, Kurapika doesn't have, like, the best offense against Sakura via the Dowsing Chain.
Right. In a way, Asuna and Sakura are somewhat similar of characters. I mean, they're decidedly different in areas, but they... you know, the augmented strength is a primary feature. I'm kind of the opinion that Kurapika would be fairly well handled to deal with that strength, especially if it's coming from such a unidirectional attack as a Sakura punch. But that said, Sakura does also have the complementing ninja skills of, like, the replacement technique or just general quickness mobility. You see them, like, hopping and practically flying through the trees. I mean, that kind of mobility can't be ignored. I get the feeling that on overall basis of strength, when you look at the other characters that are around Sakura, like an Asuna, and then certainly when you're looking at Scar and Shikamaru going any higher, it seems to me that Kurapika's hard limit of a ceiling would be Edward Elric. Clint, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, especially looking straight at Ed, who would kill Kurapika right when the battle started, just spikes from the ground, their most
right.
basic attack.
Yeah, and then what about you, Drew? Do you tend to agree with that thought?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I think, if anything, Sakura is a 50-50, and then everything else is obviously a loss for him. So.
Okay. All right, in that case, then, we will put Kurapika right below Edward Elric. And speaking of Edward Elric, let's introduce a character who is currently in our poll. If you have not yet voted in our poll for your favorite sidekick character of the choices we've selected, please do so. One of those choices is Alphonse Elric, the brother of Edward, from Full Metal Alchemist, obviously. So let's just begin by looking at him compared to his brother. Let's look at Al versus Ed. Within series, I'm not sure if it was ever really discussed, tiers of strength relative from one to another. But once again, we are trying to take the in-universe element out of the equation entirely. So when you at least look at the fact that Al doesn't have a human body in his peak condition. I mean, he can still be defeated, whether you're kind of reducing the entire armor to rubble or just completely obliterating it, or if you actually are aware enough and capable to be able to destroy the blood seal, that is still more durable than an Edward Elric, who is at least mostly flesh and blood. So, Clint, your thoughts on just that matchup, taking out of the equation, all the in-universe kind of stuff. For the tier list purposes, Al versus Ed, where do you fall?
For the purpose of the tier list, Ed's just way too squishy. I mean, Al isn't going to get hit by, like, rocks and speared through immediately, but that's something that can definitely happen to Ed.
Right. Andrew, your thoughts on that?
It's just, like, the fact that he is a suit of armor and much more, like, physically strong just on a raw sense, I think, gives him an edge over Ed, and they have, considering they have basically the same alchemy ability.
Right. That's the next point I want to get to, is that ultimately I'm not so sure that Al is going to go terribly far from his brother. I mean, they basically have the same output ability. Yeah, they may have slight variations in their defense, but Al is just more... He's different to kill. He's not necessarily harder to kill. I mean, is he really going to be able to defeat the likes of Sakura, Asuna, Scar? Drew, your thoughts?
Sakura, definitely. Like, that's an easier win for her. She basically just pulverizes him. Asuna, pretty much the same deal. Scar has, like, again, the same abilities plus, like, the disintegration arm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really see Al with much of an advantage on anyone because, again, he doesn't get any advantages that Edward wouldn't already have. So yeah, I'm tempted to place him right below Sakura, but I want to get your thoughts as well, Clint. What do you think on Al against the next three or four characters above Ed?
I definitely feel they're all characters capable of, if not scratching off the blood seal, at least demolishing the armor to a point where it would be impossible for him to fight anymore.
Okay. So I think we're in agreement then that Al just goes directly above Ed, but no further. Obviously, you know, that seems a very contentious statement to make. If you disagree, please do provide your reasoning, shonenbeam@gmail.com. Once again, not doing this with any sense of bias or any sense of in-universe tiering, just trying to apply our own bizarre esoteric logic to everything. I think we've made the right choice there. Next up is Inugami Kotaro from Maho Sensei Negima, our favorite, what is he, a wolf boy, dog boy?
I would go with Wolf.
Okay. Our favorite boy. He's a boy.
Right.
Anyway, Clint, a brief synopsis of his abilities, if you please.
So basically he can, like, summon wolf spirits that are kind of like energy magical attacks, but most of his fighting is done through a form of, like, flying and high-speed movement, and then he is a melee-style user with, like, energy-charged melee attacks. And then he does also have clones that he learned from Kaede.
Okay, that actually is extremely reminiscent of when we tiered Kaede, really, because, yeah, I mean, the up-close type of fighting might be slightly different. There are some variations in there, but ultimately it seems like his best course of action for a lot of the characters that he would be facing would be to retreat to a very far and safe distance and send in clones, send in ranged magical attacks. Would you agree with that sentiment, Clint?
Yeah, I think that would definitely be his best bet, is to just send in the wolf spirits. If he can win by doing that, it's the easiest way for him to do so.
Okay, so then Drew, is he kind of just a nerfed Kaede?
Yeah, I think that's what we already looked at that with, like, sort of Al and Ed. I think we're looking at another thing where two characters are kind of similar in terms of, like, way they would win fights in series like that.
All right. So looking then at where Kaede is currently placed, she is the fourth lowest in the high tier. Directly above her, we have characters like Blackstar and Tsubaki, Yoshimori, Maka, and Soul. Drew, does Kotaro stand any chance against them that Kaede would not have?
Certainly not.
Okay. And then characters directly below Kaede, we have Magellan, Kurama, Erza. Clint, your opinion on how Kotaro would fare against them. Is it roughly similar to the way Kaede would fare?
Yeah, I think it would be similar. He's going to use the same kind of attacks that Kaede used to win those.
Okay. I do feel bad about placing characters from the same series directly next to one another, but it seems once again like there is no escaping it, that Kotaro just goes directly below Kaede. Does that make sense to you, Drew?
Yeah, that works for me pretty well.
And you as well, Clint?
Yeah.
Okay, that is what we'll do. And finally this week, we're going to tier perhaps the strongest character of them all, able to move men like myself to absolute bouts of complete
punching him in the face. Yes.
it's Utsumi Seiji, the protagonist of Good Ending. Certainly he's not renowned for strength or even having a backbone at all, but that's an entirely different discussion. He essentially is just a completely average student.
Jellyfish.
He's slightly fit. I mean, he is technically part of a tennis club. He's not exactly a good member of it, but he is part of an athletics club, so he's in decent shape. But that's about it. He's a complete and utter coward in every possible sense of the word. So looking at his obvious rival here, of Kirishima Haruto of Kimi no Irumachi, Haruto is older and he has no issues with confidence when it comes to just his general personality type. So I get the feeling that that fight would play out where Haruto would just kind of seize the initiative and just go beat on him, and I would applaud that heartily. But Drew, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think pretty much it comes down to a case of Haruto being the decisive one, and also being a college kid instead of just a high school kid. He's right. Definitely gone through all of his growth spurts. He's a little bit bigger physically.
Definitely. Right below Haruto currently is Komatsu. Clint, your feelings, I mean, Komatsu, kind of a coward and doesn't really have any redeeming physical qualities to him. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, basically it's a normal character with some physical prowess against a character who doesn't really have any physical prowess and kind of is even a coward.
Right. So that one seems pretty cut and dry. Seiji, the perhaps the most useless addition to our tier list ever, but a decently necessary one, goes right below Kirishima Haruto and right above Komatsu. And that will then take care of this little mini episode. Please do let us know. Obviously, we always love your feedback, but we would love to know exactly your interest in the tier list in general, what types of characters you would like to see, whether you'd like to see us expand the tier list segment and feature into more articles, perhaps, more standalone episodes, please do let us know, shonenbeam@gmail.com. For now, though, that will take care of this week's mini episode. We'll catch you on Beamcast this Monday. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.